Hi, this is Dr. Blake Kelstein from Adolph and Kelstein Chiropractic, team chiropractor from the Baltimore Orioles, and we're from Towson, Maryland, and I enjoy listening to TLV Sports Talk Show with Randy B.
Heads collect like rivulets along the flesh of this blacktop sediment. Fresh fly kicks crush, ready to get their laces bust when the cross comes over, too quick to adjust. First step, leave them froze where they slept. We roll like five fingers to a hand, flexing breath control. Footwork and fast breaks, kinetic and elegant enough to leave you in a trance. You have no chance, just lamp on the pine. Who's next to be dragged through this sequence of picks and rolls, stops and pops? Gooseneck all in your chicken bucket. Fuck it, man, we all in your pockets when we stuck it to backboard. My team swarm like a horde of some dope fiend. Can't get enough of this rush. We keep it moving, leaving nothing left to discuss. Nothing but just the hush of ghosts haunting these courts. In this wide world of sports, we make more than just amazing happen. We thread needles through seams, patting the pill with such skill, like a crook with no look when up jumps the alley. Flush, game time. Heads roll off the court with kicks still crush. In this doggy dog world, you ain't nothing but just food to us. Now who wants to call next? Because this is where it happens, Captain, and I suggest that you respect the architects.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I say it every week just about. Yeah, it's time to turn up your woofers and your tweeters. That's right. You hear that music in the background. You know what time it is. It's a TLV Sports Talk Show, Taking Life's Vision, where we talk sports, we talk life, we make you visible. Right here with AKA Miss Jersey, Kenise Hunter, and your main man, Randy B. That's right. You listen to the National and International Sports Talk Show. We're heard all over the world. TLV Sports Talk Show. And we want to remind everybody that the views and statements, opinions, products, or the services of the hosts or contributors on the TLV Sports Talk Show are not necessarily endorsed, that's right, not necessarily endorsed or agreed upon by Taking Life's Vision, TLV Sports Talk Show staff, Blog Talk Radio and staff and owners, and all representations are meant to be for entertainment purposes only and do not reflect the feelings of those entities. Yeah, welcome to the TLV Sports Talk Show. Hey, the big talk, the big skinny tonight is, hey, Carolina Panthers 2-2 taking on Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2-2. They're both in the NFC South. I don't think they're going to be able to catch the Atlanta Falcons, but this is going to be a really good game tonight. What do you think, Miss Jersey? What's going on? How you feeling tonight? You think Carolina can pull it off without Cam Newton?
I think they have a wonderful chance at pulling it off without Cam Newton. And, you know, we spoke about this a few weeks ago with Cam Newton taking those hits, and now he finds himself in a position of not being able to play in this game, really due to, you know, that big hit. But I think Tampa Bay definitely has to take advantage of what they have here. You know, we'll see what Winston is able to come out and do and how he's able to take advantage of this game. But I think that, you know, Carolina without Cam Newton, that's going to be an issue. But, you know, Tampa Bay is not a great team this year. I don't know what's going on with them. I think that they may have, you know, they find themselves in a position where they win games that maybe they shouldn't win, and then they come out and they lose a game that they shouldn't lose. But I think in this matchup tonight, I think Tampa Bay definitely, you know, have to come out with a different scheme to really come on top over the Panthers tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the points per game where Tampa Bay is averaging 19.3 points per game, and Carolina, of course, is averaging 27.3. You know, the difference could be how they're executing on offense, where the Panthers have a little bit more of an edge because the way the Buccaneers have been executing. You know, their rushing yards is very, very low in comparison to Carolina. You know, they're averaging like 82.5, where the Panthers are averaging 121. 4.8 yards, and that's the big difference right there. And they both, other than that, their passing yards is pretty much the same. You know, 277 for Tampa Bay and 287 for the Panthers. And first downs, they're both right there, even with 21, you know, point five. Carolina down maybe about 3/10 of a point. And then the third down rate percentage is a little bit higher. Completion as far as Carolina, and that's a sign of a more of an experienced team. And you can see that the fourth down percentage is for Tampa Bay is 50%. So they're only completing 50% in the fourth down. So I guess they're not going for whatever, however that is. And you know, football is it's like bowling. Can you make the spare? And with football, those that execute, you know, can you complete and get that first down on the third down? You know, whether it's third and one, third and 15, can you complete that third down? And that's a sign of a team that's very experienced and they execute quite well. Going to be really something to behold. You know what? I'm going to go because Cam is not there. And certainly Carolina got something to prove, but I'm going to go with my boy Winston tonight. I'm hoping for him, you know what I mean? I want to see him do well because he needs this. They both need this, being 2-2. But it remains to be seen. Hey, what do you think about the L.A. Sparks taking on the Minnesota team over there in the WNBA? Not getting a lot of pub. Not, once again, the WNBA doing what they do best, and that is not advertise big games and advertise the Women's Basketball National Basketball Association. Maya Moore taking on Candace Parker, you know, and that's a big game, Miss Jersey. That's a real, that's two top stars there. And you got Beard, the Beard Girl. They all, you know, they got some really good teams. When you look on the marquee and you look things up as far as, you know, hockey and what's going on in the world of sports, you know, they have the NFL, they have the NBA and so forth. They don't even have the WNBA there. What's up with that? I mean, why is it that?
I don't know, Randy B. You know, we've talked about this a lot last year, and, you know, we've talked about some of the things that they have to do, and I think they've done some things quite well during the, I guess, more of the off-season going into this season of the NBA. You had a little bit of camaraderie between the NBA and the WNBA, and you had LeBron James and Chris Paul and players like that come out. Russell Westbrook to talk about how wonderful the game of basketball is in the WNBA. But there still has to be more than that, more than just a commercial, more of seeing them together as a unit, because we look at the WNBA as a total different entity than the NBA. And although it is, it needs to have some type of blend to it to really get people to come out, maybe with the level of play that you have in these games now. You know, the WNBA, the game has, like, it's competing at, like, a different level at this point. You have a lot of great players in the league right now, and they're giving you a very good game from night to night. I just think that the play is not, since people are not getting to see it on, like, some of the major networks, it just keeps the game a little bit behind versus, you know, the NBA, which you can see on multiple channels, you know, multiple stations at different times. So I think that that's really a bit of the issue, that, you know, how much the media is really covering it. But just getting back to this game between the Sparks and the Lynx, I think the Sparks are up 2-1. And in this, I mean, it's the last game, it was just a 2-point win, you know. It was like 76-78 right at the end of the game. And although Candace Parker, she only had, I think, 14 points in that last game. But, you know, those points can come at just trivial times when you're looking at these games. And like I said, the gameplay is wonderful. It's coming down to the wire between these teams. These women athletes, they're so competitive. And, I mean, this series right here is almost like you don't know who's going to win. You know, it's like Maya Moore and Candace Parker going at it. But, you don't know who's going to come out of it. It's really tight right here for the finals once again.
Yeah, it's certainly exciting. I like to see it going on primetime TV because it's not getting any justice at all. I mean, this is really top-notch basketball, even from a male perspective, okay? It is what it is. These ladies can play. I mean, they flat out got game, okay? And it needs to be exposed, and it needs to be made visible. That's right. We're listening to TLV Sports Talk Show, where we talk sports, we talk life, we make you visible. Hey, we're going to get to football in a minute, but we got, hey, the Major League Baseball is really, really exciting. We see that the Blue Jays, they swept Texas 3-0 again for the second year in a row. I don't know what Texas got to do to get past the Blue Jays, but it seemed like it's not happening this year again. So for the AL Divisional Champs, congratulations to the Blue Jays. They will be taking on Boston, which I don't think Boston will make it because Cleveland is up 2-0, and it's very hard to play to come back and play 3 games and win 3 games in a row in the world of baseball. It could be done. I mean, it's been done before. Boston did it against the Yankees. They beat them in a series. They beat them 4 straight, and that broke the mold as far as a team, any professional team, not coming back 4 games and winning a championship. But I just think Cleveland bats are really, 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 really hot. But, hey, Miss Jersey, guess what? I'm going to tell you the hot game, though. I mean, now we know the Nationals, Washington Nationals and the Dodgers, they're playing right now. They're in the 8th inning, and the Nationals are up 4-3. But Dusty Baker is that great manager that he is. He knows what he's doing. Those two teams are really good, okay? But the game to watch, the game tonight is the Chicago Cubs
and the Giants.
San Francisco and the Giants. Of course, Arrieta's coming on for the Cubs, and that sling arm guy, that guy that's like 6'6", and by the time he delivers, he's right up on you. Bumgarner is on the mound. He's on the mound tonight. He's on the hill. So, you know, the Giants are down 1-0. I think the Cubs really might pull this off. You know what they got in that bullpen? They have that tough left-hander. He's a reliever. He's a closer. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you saw it the other night, all right? But guess what he was throwing at? 102, 103, 100. It's crazy.
Wow.
No, he was firing up like crazy. And that's the bullpen for the Cubs is the difference. I mean, you know, the Cubs have better pitching. You know, they got Lester and Arrieta and my other man there. And I would like to see the Giants win, but I tell you what, the Cubs are really, really hot. I don't know if you've been watching the game, any of the games, but it's the two teams are so evenly matched. You know, stolen bases, they're right there together. Cubs have a little bit of an edge on home runs. Giants are not hitting the ball like they normally do. Posey's not coming across, and you know, they just, I don't know. I think the Giants, they're happy just to be there because they were a Cinderella team. They just barely made the playoffs. But the Cubs, they've been hot all year long. So, I don't know. Who do you like in that series there, Miss Jersey?
You want to go with the Cubs. Look, my grandma loved the Cubs, and you know, I just keep thinking about them being cursed, so it doesn't matter how well they do, they're going to find a way to lose. So, but I mean, I would like to see the Cubs pull it out.
Well, they haven't won a World Series since Hector was a puppy. What, 1904, 19-something? I mean, it's crazy. You know, they've had good teams. They're the Philadelphia Eagles of baseball. Okay? And a lot of people, they want to see the Giants lose because they've been there so many times in the past 5 years. But it's because of their great pitching staff. But Chicago has a really, really good pitching staff this year, and it's going to be a good game because the last game was 1-0. Was it 1-0 or was that the game before that? No, yeah, last game was 1-0. This is the second game because the other game got rained out, got postponed, right?
I think the Cubs are up 2-0.
No, I thought the Cubs are up, it's 0-1. It's 0-1, the current standing. The current standing is 0-1. The Cubs are up 0-1. And this is the second game here. And,
okay.
It's going to be really good. I can't wait. I'm excited about that's really the only two teams that I'm really excited about as far as Major League Baseball right now, as far as the playoffs and the National League. But, moving right along, hey, you know what? Football is really, really exciting. The red-hot Minnesota Vikings. Your boy is doing quite well. Talk to us about your boy, which you said he was going to be doing good in another system. Yeah, Minnesota Vikings, you know who we're talking about.
Sam Bradford, who they used to call Sam Bradford over here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing how a system can make the difference. Talk to us
and
about
that. That is so true. I think Sam Bradford, at the end of the day, I think that he is and has the potential to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think that he just really got sucked into some bad systems. I mean, over there with the Rams, and then when he came to Philadelphia, he was at Philadelphia with Chip Kelly. That didn't do him much good. The best thing, I mean, like I told you last week, the best thing that could have happened is Teddy Bridgewater going down, which is the reason why Sam Bradford was traded over there to the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And then to see him play in several games, he hasn't had a turnover yet, which is great. You know, he's not injured. Let us knock on whatever we have to knock on for that. And he's playing well because the play. And the other thing is, the best thing that could have happened to Sam Bradford once he got there is that Adrian Peterson went down. Because now, if you look at the way that the Vikings are playing, the playbook is much simpler. You know, you don't have you're not running the regular offense that you were running even last season when this team won 10. They were 10-6 last year, won in division, even over the Packers. Okay. When you look at the playbook now, it's very simple. And for Sam Bradford, that's what you need. We're not asking, we know he has an arm, but we're not asking him to throw 70 yards down the field every play. You know, he's throwing he's throwing between the numbers. The line is protecting him a bit. He's getting the ball out much faster. And he's not required to do much. And the defense is limiting the other team to points. So he doesn't have to do but so much scoring in the game to even win at this point. So this team is just, everything here is just working for him. And they're 5-0. They're the only undefeated team, I think, that's in the NFL at this point. So, I mean, you have to give credit to what they're able to do. It's like they see he's actually able to work within what they have given him, and he's doing it pretty well at this point.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're just unbelievable. It's the defense. I mean, that defense is really, really holding down the people from scoring, and that's defense is what wins chips, you know. So can they? The only two teams out there. They could go undefeated this year. The only two teams that they would have a problem with and that they would meet would be the Green Bay Packers. And I think they play the Eagles, don't they? I forget who they're playing on Christmas Day, but it's only really, I forget their schedule.
They're a decent, well-rounded team. I mean,
yeah.
You can't argue anything about that. They're just a pretty decent all-around team at this point. There's a lot working for them at this point in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. How about those Dallas Cowboys? Can you believe it? Now, the big talk is is Romo going to come back, and is he going to start, and is he going to just take over this team again? What's your take on that? Should Romo just sit back, or should Jerry just say, okay, we're going to let this young buck continue to do what he's doing, because Zach is doing quite well, Mr. Prescott, they all got rhythm and energy and chemistry. Or is Romo going to come back and it's going to spoil the apple cart? We talked about it last week, but it's still a big controversy. What do you say?
It is still a big controversy, and that's because the Dallas Cowboys have to start looking ahead to the future. Right now, it's just an emotional turnover to the fact that, you know, they don't want to let go of Tony Romo right now. This, you know, this is his team. This was his team in the beginning of the season. Nobody was thinking about Dak Prescott, even though he did well in the preseason. It was Tony Romo's team until he went down. Now I understand he's the franchise quarterback, but you know what? He's not healthy. He's 36 years old. He'll be 37. Is this going to be the quarterback of the future at this point in time? Because what is Tony Romo going to be at 38? I mean, he wasn't the best of a quarterback when he was 34, 33, 32, 31, you know, all through his 30s.
Yeah, yeah,
so what
yeah.
more do you expect? I don't think that Tony Romo is going to get better from this point. I mean, from week 8, 9, or 10, whenever he's supposed to come back forward. So right now, Dak Prescott is doing well. Even if he loses a game or two from here to there or whatever, he should be the future of the franchise, and I would not pull him because you didn't have the expectation of being this good at this point in the season once Tony Romo went down. Look at where he's at. He hasn't even thrown an interception yet. He has the rookie record for the amount of passes thrown to not have an interception at this point. This last game, he was 18 of 24. He threw for 227 yards, and he also had a rushing touchdown on his own. You know, I mean, he's doing everything well. No interceptions. He has good ball movement. The O-line is protecting him very well. He has time in the pocket. He's poised. He scrambles. He throws on the run, and he'll go in for a touchdown when necessary. That's more than what you can ask of a veteran quarterback, let alone a rookie. And the team is rallying around him, and that's something that the Cowboys definitely need in their locker room at this point in time in the NFL.
You got that right. I think he ran that touchdown just to send a message. I think the kid really knows what he's doing, and he's sending a message to the media, sending a message to other teams. He's definitely sending a message to Jerry Jones because I know Coach Garrett, you know, he already knows what this kid is capable of doing. So when was the last time you saw Tony Romo going in the end zone there in the zone where, you know, what do they call it? What zone is that called? You know, when they get down in the 20, within the 20-yard line.
The red zone.
The red zone, yeah. When was the last time you saw Tony Romo run in?
You see Tony Romo out there looking googly-eyed from time to time. I mean, even though, you know, they say he's one of the best quarterbacks you want to have in the fourth quarter, but I need a quarterback in the first, second, and third quarter, too. Sometimes you're so far in the hole that he has to bring the team back, maybe from a couple of picks that he threw prior to that situation.
Yeah, I'm looking at something here. They said that the Cowboys are 1-3. That's a mistake, isn't it? Cowboys are not 1-3, right? They're 3-1, right?
Yeah, they're I think they're 4-1.
Yeah. Somebody that threw these stats up here, they got it wrong. I think it's the Washington Redskins. The Redskins, they're not 3-1, are they? Yeah, they're 3-1 too, right?
They're 3-2.
They're 3-2. Yeah, so somebody made a mistake on this board here. And that's why I'm not repeating anything here, but I know for a fact that the Cowboys, they're really on top of their game. I can't wait until they play the Philadelphia Eagles. But the game this week with the Cowboys is they're going to be playing Green Bay, right? And that remains to be seen because Green Bay, they always get off to a slow start. That's their nature. But,
yeah, that's the nature of the beast there. But if they...
if the Cowboys come in, and you know, I don't want them to beat my Packers, of course. But then after that, they have a bye, and then I think that's when they play the Eagles.
Right.
So I mean, they have the next 3 weeks to really look forward to see if they're in that same position, mainly in the NFC and the NFC East race as it stands now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hey, you're listening to TLV Sports Talk Show. We talk sports, we talk life, we make you visible. Right here with Kenise Hunter and Randy B on the TLV Sports Talk Show. I tell you what, the team that's really hot is the Atlanta Falcons, having beat the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers, both teams that were in the Super Bowl last year. Now, we know the Panthers have had problems, you know, so far this year, but the Denver Broncos has been playing quite well. Do you take the Atlanta Falcons as a joke, or you take them very seriously?
You know, I always take the Atlanta Falcons very seriously, mainly to the point that, you know, they still have Matty Ice. And if you have Matty Ice out there and Matty Ice is healthy, he's been known to just put up numbers, you know, all through his career. Besides having an injury or two here and there, when he's on the field and he's healthy, you have to watch out for him. You have to watch out for him hooking up with Julio Jones. You have to watch out for the run game when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons. And then you also have to watch out for their secondary, because they are able to stop you from scoring points. So, I don't put anything past them at this point in time. I know they suffered from some injuries in the past. Last year they started off very well and then just went on a slump. You know, I don't know how you win like 7 games straight and then almost get to the point where you're losing 7 games straight. But they went downhill last season. And, you know, part of that is, you know, due to some injuries. But I think right now they are playing lights out. And Matty Ice is, I mean, as offense, I mean, he's an offensive threat by himself. We know that as a quarterback. So look out for them to continue to do well. If they're healthy, they're going to continue to do well.
I just don't have faith in Matt Ryan when it comes to the big games. I think he's just a choke artist. You know, he does well during the season, but soon to come playoff time, he's just not there. Maybe this will be this year for him. Maybe not. That remains to be seen. But right now, they're playing, like you say, lights out. And they're really, their front line on defense, as far as getting sacks, they're really doing it. As far as getting a lot of sacks, I forget what the numbers are on there, but I know they're doing exceptionally well, better than what they were doing last year. And of course, you know, on offense, they got the great Julio Jones.
Hey, Julio.
Julio is Julio, you know. Julio could be a model. That boy got some dimples on him, don't he? He's a good-looking kid, but he can also play that position. And I tell you what, he's not fast. He's turbo. I mean, this kid got speed. And once he let loose, it's no catching him. It's really, really amazing. Listening to
And when he jumps up with that ball, he comes down with it strong.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. You know, and they have good chemistry. I look for Atlanta to really, though. It should be their year, because they've been so close in the previous years. You know, close, almost got it, and, you know, then somebody gets hurt, or, you know, they just fizzle out. I think with Coleman and Julio Jones on one end, and then you got Mr. Freeman rushing, you know, they have a well-balanced team. I don't know if they play Atlanta or not. That would be a great, great game. I don't know who I would go with on that. I would have to go with Atlanta, to be honest with you, because I think their defense is better than Dallas. But you know what surprised me? The last game that Dallas played, they didn't play man-to-man. And that they played that zone, and it made a difference. So, you know, their defensive coordinator is really mixing it up, and that team is really responding to what's being said. And then I watch the chemistry off the field when they're on the sidelines. They just, it's like they all just go eat pizza together, or, you know, It's just a great thing to see for the Dallas Cowboys, because they definitely need that. America's favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys. But Mr. Aaron Rodgers is going to have something to say about that this Sunday. And so will Kenise Hunter. Hey, you're listening to TLV Sports Talk Show. We talk sports. We talk life. We make you visible. We've got about 4 more minutes left to this broadcast. I tell you what, going to the NBA, I want to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. And for most of you know that I'm not a 76er fan. Never been since they tried to trade Dr. J back a long time ago after they won that championship in the 80s. And I said never again. But they have a potentially good young team, and I sure hope they don't mess this lineup. I mean, with Okafor coming back and the big kid in the middle there, you know, they're trying to liken him to Moses Malone, but that's not happening. This kid can shoot outside. He's got the footwork of Elijah Wan, and he's just going to be a great player. Hopefully he stays healthy. And then they got the other kid that's coming in this year. Talk to us about the Philadelphia 76ers and the players and how you see them this year.
Well, I don't know where the Sixers are going to line up at. I mean, there are just so many teams that's going to be better with them. I hope that they have a much better season than what they had last year, because it was nothing short but an atrocity for where they were at. I mean, did they win 10 games? It was really bad. The Warriors, I think they lost as many games as the Sixers won last year. That's how bad it was. But I think with this young group of talent, I think that they can do something. I'm not going to say that they're playoff bound or anything like that, but, you know, with Embiid coming back, starting to play now, and after, you know, we've been waiting for him because of injuries, of course, and, you know, with Noel coming back, and, you know, we just got Okafor, and I don't know what's going to happen with, you know, Simmons with his injury. But I think that the team is really, we're going to have to wait and see what we even have in this team, because I'm not even sure of how the positions are actually going to officially play out really when they get into the regular season, you know, because the positions pretty much overlap, mainly with them having, you know, a few big men. Where is everyone going to be, and how are they going to be defensively? Because I don't see them right now as a true defensive team at all. I mean, they have some offense, but they're going to struggle on defense.
Well, you know what? I'd put Okafor at a power forward and put what's the big kid's name again?
Embiid,
yeah, Joel.
Noel, he's not a defensive force.
He's not a different. Well, I saw him block some shots the other night. I think that he could be
he still has some development to go.
Yeah, you know, he's
and then
good.
he doesn't have much weight on him either.
Well, who would you put in the middle? Okafor, and then bring the big kid off the bench?
And, I mean, that's where you're going to have to go. I mean, I'm not sure if Embiid is truly up to gain speed at this point. So, I mean, I would have him coming off the bench at this point.
Interesting. You know more about the 76ers than I do. I haven't been keeping up with them in quite a few years.
Look, I'm just trying to put it out there to make it work. I know it sounds good to, you know, I can't see, even if Ben Simmons was healthy, right? I can't see it being Noel, Okafor, Embiid, and Simmons on the floor at the same time doing what? You know, it sounds like, you know, I mean, that's the force of the team, but them gelling all together on the floor at the same time, if any other NBA team, I mean, you'll wrap around them very quickly.
Yeah,
you see,
you know,
like Chris Paul coming up on them. I mean, it's that wouldn't even be a challenge, you know.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with them since Doug Collins was coaching. They had a really good team. They had some good rookies on that team when they had Drew Holiday, and they had Evan Turner, and they had a really nice. And Coach Collins took them to the playoffs.
They had something to work with.
Yeah, he took them to the playoffs. They was really getting it in, and he broke the whole team up. And so I said, you know what? It's typical 76er time, man. I'm not even going to deal with them. You know, not at all. Hey, you listen to TLV Sports Talk Show. We talk sports. We talk life. We make you visible. Right now, the Knicks is taking on the Washington Wizards, and that's another team that's I don't know about that team either. You know, it all looks good on paper, but let's face it. When it comes to the East, I can't see anybody in the NBA in the East beating the Cleveland Cavaliers again. But is J.R. Smith for the Cavaliers? Is he going to is he going to play with the Cavaliers, or are they going to be picking up? What's the rumor that they picked up the Jimmer Fredette?
Well, Cavaliers. I mean, I don't see J.R. with I don't see him with 100 offers on the table either. You know, I think that LeBron wants him there, and you know, normally LeBron is the kind of player, he normally gets what he wants. Not to say it's always going to happen, but I think he would prefer that JR is definitely on the team and playing with them. I mean, he did what he had to do during the playoffs last series, and I think he is a viable part of the team. I just think that he's in over his head and what he thinks he brings to the table. And I think part of what J.R. Smith, I see his situation as in, you know, there are so many players that's getting way more money than him, and they're not even as valuable to the team than he is to the Cavaliers. Not to say that he's, you know, a star player on that level, but he is he's a big part of the Cavalier team. And so I can see his point of, you know, he wants some of the big money that they're offering those other players. But at the same time, you know, they do have a full roster. You're coming back from a whole championship team, and there were other people that had to get paid. So you're not number one, two, or three on the list by any means. And, you know, he has to take what he has to take. And I think that he should move forward from there if he wants to, you know, continue to be on a successful level.
Yeah, I agree. But he's not worth it. What's he asking for? $18 million?
A year?
I don't know what I've read. If it was $18 million a year,
but
it can't
you know
be
what?
Million.
You do have, you know, you have so many people that got $88 million easy. You know, it's just like, oh, my goodness. You know, they may have been sitting on the bench eating a sandwich or something. They were like, here, we're just throwing $88 million around to everyone. I mean, even Dellavedova got like a $38 million contract.
Well, if Dallas paid $24 million to Harrison Barnes, I imagine JR could get paid with the Cavaliers, because definitely, by all day means, JR is a much better player than Harrison Barnes coming and going. I think when he came from the Knicks, I think LeBron really helped him to get his head together to focus on basketball.
He and, did.
You know, and he wasn't making dumb mistakes. He was more under control, and he stepped up and played. Even though that one game against Golden State, I think it was the first game, he didn't even touch the ball. He didn't even score. And I don't know if he had a brain freeze or what, but the outcome was when he came out to play, and that whole team came out, and their defense was to shut down Curry. That's what really made the difference. And Harrison Barnes couldn't step up and score, and Klay Thompson.
Oh yeah, he choked. He got money after he choked. So So that's why I said I could see a part of JR's point. Oh my goodness, this guy choked in the finals, and he got a contract. So I get his point, but you know, everything is not for everybody at every time. So sometimes you gotta take what you gotta take. And you know, he's been in this league for a long time at this point. So, and like I said, it's, you know, it's not like his phone is ringing off the hook at this moment. So, you know, he got to kind of weigh his situation. He got to look at his situation stand alone in a sense.
Mark Cuban will buy anybody, man. Mark Cuban got the money. Mark Cuban will buy him, believe me. Mark Cuban said, I'll take him. You know, he's sort of like the Jerry Jones of football.
Yeah, no shirt and all.
You know what I mean? It is what it is. Hey, you listen to TLV Sports Talk Show. We talk sports. We talk life. We make you visible. We want to remind everybody, too. We didn't forget that home opening day for Rowan College of Brumley County in Pemberton, New Jersey is November the 3rd, Thursday. November the 3rd, 7 p.m. They're going to take on Lackawanna College. It's Coach O's debut as head coach at Burlington County. Formerly Burlington County College, Rowan College of Burlington County in Pemberton, New Jersey. So stop on out. It's going to be quite interesting. We want to see your face in the place. TLV Sports Talk Show will be there, and we'll make you visible. That's November the 3rd, Thursday, 7 p.m. at Rowan College of Burlington County, Pemberton, New Jersey, taking on Lackawanna College. Well, in the meantime, in between time, it's been real. Miss Jersey right here with us, and your main man, Randy B. Until the next time, we see that the clock on the wall saying we got to roll. And, you know, everybody knows what time it is. We are off like a dirty shirt.
See ya.
Thank you. We'll be right back.